Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him. We bear witness that there is no deity except Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah, peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household, and those who follow Him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Adl. The main meaning of Al-Adl is the one who is balanced in his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not creating things to be too much or too little. He is creating things to be balanced. And he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he did that in his creation, he ordered us to maintain the balance. Last time, we ended at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Rahman at the beginning, in a very smooth, emotional way, starting by Ar-Rahman, the most compassionate. Allama al-Qur'an, he taught Qur'an. Khalaqa al-insan, he created man. Allamahu al-bayan, he taught it this, how to speak. Ash-shamsu wal-qamaru bi-husban, and the sun and the moon are according to very accurate, precise calculation. Wal-najmu wal-shajaru yasjudan, and the stars and the trees are bowing in full submission to the laws of nature that he has put in place. وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ. This is where we ended last time, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this very beautiful emotional way, after speaking about all this creation, Quran to guide the man, and the sun and the moon are being controlled by him to make, to serve the man, and subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created najm wa shajar also to serve the man. And then وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا, you can see here the volume, it's like makes you picture that السَّمَاءَ, the sky and the earth are together like that. That's what you, that's the picture that's being described, and that's the beauty of the picture. And then the sama is being lifted up to create that space, which is the space we live in, to create the atmosphere. Because the sky is this blue thing that we see above us, which is the atmosphere, which is the safe roof that reflects all harmful rays and harmful radiations back into the space and keeps in all useful material, water and things and oxygen, into the space that we live in. So it's like he lifted this to create this space for us. And then under this safe roof, which is the sky, what did he do? He established the balance. وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ. And he put the balance. And then, this is about what he created and controlled using the laws of nature, is the balance. But how about the vacuum or the void, or the gap that he left for us to fill, to play our role in, to do the purpose of life? How about this gap? What did he say about it? He said, أَلَّا تَطْغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. Now, your job is that you don't break the balance, you don't transgress against the due balance that he subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. لَا تَطْغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُخْسِرُ الْمُوزَانِ. And establish the balance with fairness, as he subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered, and don't, لا تُخْسِرُ الْمِيزَانِ, don't sway and go excessive, neither this way nor that way, neither to the right nor to the left. Keep the balance. And indeed, if you notice, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of balance everywhere. And without this balance, life would not be possible. So we consume water. Then the water supply, water vapors, causes cloud, and it rains again. So cycles of balance to maintain the water, the fresh water. We also breathe the oxygen, inhale the oxygen, and exhale the carbon dioxide. So Allah created the cycle of balance. The plants breathes the carbon dioxide and produces the oxygen. And cycles of balance so that we don't run out of it for oxygen. And so forth, many, many examples. That if the earth is too close from the sun, we will cook. If it's too far, we will breathe. If it's, and you know, many, many, many examples like that as you go through the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, as we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us on earth so that we implement His manners, we follow His manners, and implement them on earth. So our share, or the reason we're learning about the names of Allah, we learn about the names of greatness so that we appreciate the greatness of Allah. Can we follow the names of greatness? Can we follow the manners of greatness, implement the manners of greatness of Allah on earth? The answer is no. We are forbidden from following these manners or trying to follow these manners for ourselves, because it's only for the unit, the one single, flawless, complete unit, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Ahad. It's only for Al-Ahad. So that's monotheism. Now, how about the manners of beauty or the names of beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has? He wants us to follow that. He's generous, He wants us to be generous. He's kind, He wants us to be kind. He wants us to follow His manners and to take His manners and make them real life values and principles that govern our life on earth. So when we fill that void that Allah has created for us to play a role, we fill it according to these manners. So what should we do is one of the things related to this name Al-Adl is that we maintain this balance, we maintain this Adl that Allah has put in place. And two main things that are very important for us to maintain the balance in. The first balance that we're required to maintain is the balance between the body and the soul. Don't be so materialistic, excessively materialistic, and don't be excessively spiritual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us from these two units. As He subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that He created, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي that إني خالق بشرا من طين وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إن سورة صاد وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني خالق بشرا من طين I'm going to create a man out of clay. So here is the materialistic part. This is the materialistic part, is the clay. فإذا سويته, when I fashion him and وَاسْنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي and breathed into him from my soul, or from my spirit, when I breathe into him from my spirit, which is the secret of life, and that is the secret of life that makes us all alive. So, فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. So you can see clay, secret of life, spirit of Allah, the body and the soul. وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ وَبَرَكَاتُ. The body and the soul. If we can see clearly that people sometimes put more emphasis on the body or on the soul. We live in a culture where most of the emphasis is put on the body. Well, the body is getting the best clothes. The body is getting the best food. The body is getting the best perfume. The body is getting the best medication, the best health insurance. Cosmetics, everything is made for the body, to make the body, to emphasize the body, and to emphasize the entertainment of the body and the care of the body. So the body is taken care of. Now how about the soul? What do we have for the soul? As the body gets sick, the soul gets sick. As the body gets blind, the soul gets blind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّهَا لَتَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. It's not that the physical eyes get blind. It is the heart that gets blind. Blind heart. You know, the soul needs medication. The body needs medication. The soul also, as the body needs medication, the soul needs medication. As the body has viruses, the soul has viruses. The soul has four viruses that infect the soul and make the soul sick. As the body dies, the soul dies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Look at the example of the one. This is what Allah says. Look at the example of the one who was dead. So we made him alive and we gave him light to walk among the people and spread that light. So that dead person, he is a walking dead. Originally he was a walking dead. He was dead. What? I mean, was he physically dead? No, he was physically alive, but his heart was dead. So Allah revived his heart, and Allah made his heart alive, put guidance and wisdom in his heart, so he became full of the light of wisdom, and then he's walking and spreading among the people. So now the body needs exercise. You need to go to the gym to exercise your body, or your body is going to get sick. Same thing with the soul. If you don't exercise the soul, if you don't have 5 times daily prayers and once a month fasting and once a year fasting and pilgrimage and maintain the remembrance of Allah inside your circle of focus, then what is going to happen? Your soul also is going to get sick. So now the dilemma is, okay, for the body, we are experts into taking care of the body. We study the anatomy of the body. The body is from mud, and it is being fed by mud products. Whether plants are products of mud, animals are products of mud. So mud fed by mud. So here we go. But how about the soul? How are we going to feed the soul to keep the balance? If we don't feed the soul, it is going to go like this. We become materialistic people, consuming animals, consumption. And we become controlled by temptations. I mean, if the soul becomes dead, or if the heart becomes dead, and the soul, the body is controlling, okay, then what is the strongest thing that influences us and influences our decision? Temptations. I mean, what else? We will be controlled by temptation. I like doing this, I do it. I feel like doing this, I do it. I benefit from doing this, I do it. Okay? There will be nothing else to control our heart except temptations. But when the soul is strong and the soul is connected with Allah, then we are freed of temptation, because the only other strong thing that is able to defeat temptation and make us in control of our temptations and don't let our temptations be in control of us is the slavery to Allah, is the relationship with Allah. Allah is so strong that He can kick the temptations from the heart and be in control. So He controls you, His guidance controls you, His love controls you, instead of these temptations. So this is why they always say slavery to Allah means freedom from temptations. Denial slavery to Allah means slavery to temptations. You have no choices. Allah or temptation, that's it, which one you choose. Okay, you take Allah, it's temptations. You bring Allah, He kicks temptations out. And then you are controlled by Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you're controlled by Him, He allows temptations to come in, which are the halal temptations. Halal temptations, enjoy it. It's a gift from Allah. Allah is not making it haram. In Surah Al-A'raf, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Who said that these pleasures and fun and the entertainment around you are haram? Who said so? It is for in this life, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. It is for believers in this life. It's available for believers in this life and for them to enjoy. خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Pure for them in the day of judgment. Which means that in this life it's available for believers and non-believers. خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. In the day of judgment it's only for believers. It's no longer available for the non-believers. So Allah, when He goes into the heart, He allows you to enjoy the halal temptations. It's a gift from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only enjoy it, but you get rewards. You get hasanat for it. To enjoy halal temptations, you get hasanat. The fact that you are determined to accept only halal temptations and determined to reject haram temptations, in that state of mind by itself is a state of mind that makes you eligible for hasanat that comes from the halal temptation. And the evidence is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "Fi bid'i ahadikum sadaqa." You know, if you have a sexual intercourse with your wife, that is a charity. That is a charity. So the companions say, how could it be a charity? You are having fun, Prophet Muhammad. This is an enjoyment. That's a pleasure. أَيَقْضِي أَحَدُونَ شَهْوَتَهُ وَيَأْخُذُ أَجْرَهُ. So the Prophet said the keyword. He said, what if he does it the haram way? Wouldn't he be punished? They said, of course. He said, then if he does it the halal way, it's a reward. So halal temptations. Here we go. Reward. It's a reward from Allah. As long as you put that state of mind in your brain, no haram, always halal, Allah rewards you for it. Just that state of mind by itself is submission to Allah, is that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And you cannot have that without keeping the balance between the body and the soul. Between keeping the balance. The body gets the temptation, and the soul, the heart, gets the halal. So here is the combination. Halal, temptations. See the balance? Halal, temptations. Okay? Haram temptation means the body is emphasized. Okay? Prevent yourself from temptation means the soul is emphasized. Both are wrong. To make yourself a rahib, to go to the caves and to do like the Christian monks used to do, wear these very tough clothes, no showers, no food, don't touch women, and why? Okay, that's out of balance. Now you are getting out of balance. On the other hand, living just as a consuming animal, controlled by the feelings of pleasure and pain. Pleasure, do it. Pain, don't do it. And the God is the dollar. And Jannah is fun and entertainment, and hellfire is pain. I mean, that is you becoming a consuming materialistic animal on the other hand. Muslims are the balanced one between this and this. Okay? And also, another example is the concept of the depending on Allah. If you don't believe that Allah is behind everything, then you are so materialistic. You believe in Wizwig. What you see is what you get. The materialistic thing. You don't believe in anything above the skies or under the earth. You only believe in what is between the skies and earth. Above the skies are Allah and the angels. You don't believe in that. Under the earth is the life after death. You don't believe in that. You're stuck here. You're becoming excessively materialistic. And you become excessive in that, believing that only these laws of nature are the ones in control. On the other hand, if you stay in the masjid and say, Allah will serve me food, then you have gone the other extreme. If you say, Allah is going to do my laundry and wash my dishes, hello? Who said that Allah is going to do your laundry, wash your dishes, tie your camel, and what else, and serve you food? I mean, come on. Then you have gone excessive on the other side. Depending on Allah is balanced way. Okay, do your work, wash your dishes, but know that your dishes will not get clean except with the powers of Allah. And if He doesn't want them to get clean, it doesn't matter how much you wash them. Okay, wash your clothes, powers of Allah are making them clean. And if He doesn't want, they will not be clean even if you wash them forever. Okay, take the medication works with the power of Allah. If He doesn't want the medication to work, take 10,000 medications and see 10,000 doctors. It's not going to help you. So this is how the balanced Muslim comes in. So this balance between the body and the soul is important. And we can see the spiritual viruses that infect the soul and compare them with the materialistic viruses that infect the body. The soul has four viruses. And for those four viruses, Allah has put in the Quran three medications. Those three medications will kill those four viruses completely, so that you have a heart that's not hard and it's not dead. What are these four viruses? The first virus is the shaitan. And then the second virus is the love of dunya, the love of the pleasures of dunya, not the love to be fair. It is what Allah said in verse 23 in Surah Al-Tawbah. It is the excessive love, not the love. Who doesn't love the dunya? We all love the dunya. But what is it that we're forbidden from is the excessive love. So we will end here, inshallah. Next time we'll pick it up from how to maintain the balance between the body and the soul by making sure that these medications, spiritual medications, apply and kill those four viruses. And in this way, we are maintaining the balance between the body and the soul. And in this way, we are implementing the name of Allah, Al-Adl, the balanced in our daily life. أقول قولي هذا
وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.
The four viruses are the love of dunya, the shaitan, the love of dunya, the lower desires, and the temptations. Those are the four viruses and the three medications next time. So,
talking about balance, last week, Imam Alauddin was giving the lecture, and then it was about, you know, how initially when the Muslims started praying, they were asked to pray either one third of the night or the whole night or half of the night. And on the way back, I was thinking, you know, this is not balanced, because I mean, I can't do it. I cannot pray one third of the night and then go to work. Physically, I cannot. Right? So why was so much strain put? It doesn't seem balanced to me.
Yeah, that.
Then it embarked upon me. But you know what? Allah wanted to prepare those people, because the duty they had on themselves was so great. If I cannot pray one third of the night, then how can I leave my city and go to a different city and take part of jihad and breathe? I mean, I think what Allah made those people very strong for us. I mean, He made them so strong by these actions, then everything just came naturally to them. That's what I concluded. But sometimes things might seem out of balance. Sometimes you might say, you know, I'm losing so many beloved or whatever. But, you know, if you look at the bigger picture, I think everything is okay.
You got it right. And there is one more thing to add on the top of what you just said, which is the main thing. But there's another reason or another concept that will make you able to distinguish whether it's out of balance or not, is the difference between equality and justice. Equality and justice. Equality is not always justice. And inshallah, we will we'll go over the difference between equality and justice next time. And how is it related to what you just said?
I always say, peace and justice cannot prevail. Palestine needs to be free for both peace and justice. Just peace is not going to happen.
No justice, no peace. Walaikum salam.
Palestine has to be peaceful just because we want justice.
Huh? What did you say?